Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Who were the men behind the publication of the Journal of Discourses? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson, and we are going to continue our look at this 26-volume set known as the Journal of Discourses, and we yesterday began reading a statement that is found on LDS.org, the official website of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And one thing we notice here is that they are trying to make a very concerted effort to downplay the significance of this 26-volume set of sermons by Mormon leaders during the 19th century. We are going to start today with the last of the four paragraphs, which reads,
"Questions have been raised about the accuracy of some transcriptions. Modern technology and processes were not available for verifying the accuracy of transcriptions, and some significant mistakes have been documented. The Journal of Discourses includes interesting and insightful teachings by early church leaders. However, by itself, it is not an authoritative source of church doctrine."
Now, when they say that questions have been raised about the accuracy of some transcription, it would be very helpful if the LDS Church is going to make an assertion like this to help the student out in giving them some examples of these alleged mistakes.
They must know which inscriptions by saying some transcriptions. So let's go ahead and get a list on LDS.org so I, when I'm going through those 26 volumes, can know which ones are suspect.
Well, I think we can naturally assume that if you are transcribing a sermon or a speech by hand and then having to take it from your Pittman shorthand and then transcribe it into a readable sentence, of course there's going to be the ability of an error to creep in. We're not doubting that. The question, of course, is, are they significant errors? It's kind of like when Bart Ehrman talks about all the 400,000 variants in the New Testament. Yet when we go back and we really examine what he's talking about, we find that they're really insignificant, that there really isn't all that big of an importance about these so-called variants, to where if to the untrained ear, sounds like, wow, that's not worth trusting at all. I shouldn't even look at the New Testament because of that. The church is trying to give that same kind of impression that you can't really trust the journal, even though, as we've mentioned in past broadcasts, they often cite the Journal of Discourses in their own manuals, and Mormon leaders have cited the Journal of Discourses in their own sermons and in their other publications.
How do they know that those are accurate? I think that's a point we just need to keep making, because if this set of journals is not considered to be authoritative or accurate, then why quote it in the first place?
I think if a Christian was to cite something from the Journal of Discourses to an LDS member, and the member comes back with a statement like this, well, yeah, but there's questions about the accuracy, I would say, okay, I can understand that when you're dealing with humans, you know, transcribing this. But tell me, is the quote that I am citing, is it transcribed inaccurately? Because if you can't prove that it is, then you really don't have an argument in trying to make it sound like the quotation that I just referenced is somehow not to be believed. When they say some significant mistakes have been documented, please, LDS Church, give us a list. Give us a list somewhere. We would like to know what they are. If there's a list out there, I am not aware of it. Maybe there is. I could be ignorant.
In a way, it makes it sound like because there are some errors that they have documented, therefore the whole thing is suspect. And again, what you're saying is, if the whole thing can't be trusted, then tell us the whole thing. But by saying some, it seems like you're indicating that you know which parts are not considered accurate.
And clearly this statement from the LDS Church is trying to downplay, as we've said, the significance of these 26 volumes of sermons by trying to say, well, it's not an official publication. Well, okay, but what does the word official really mean? There is no official definition for the word official in the Mormon Church, at least not a definition that has been consistent throughout its history. So that becomes very questionable. But it makes it sound like there's a lot of mistakes in there, at least enough to where a person shouldn't just jump right in and believe just about anything that they read in the Journal of Discourses. Now, I'm sure this question has been brought up by many members of the LDS Church. I have had Mormon members themselves tell me that I can't trust the journal. But yet, there was a statement, a letter that was put out on June 12, 1963, by Axel J. Andresen. I'm not quite sure how he pronounced it. Andresen. He was the assistant manager of the Deseret Book Company. And he wrote this letter on June 12, 1963. Obviously, somebody had written him. I don't have the name of the person because the name of the person has been blacked out. But this is what Mr. Andresen said to this individual. In having in your library the 26 volumes of the Journal of Discourses, you have a library containing the sermons of the presidents and apostles of the church. If anyone tells you that the sermons found therein are not recognized by the church, they know not what they are talking about. I am sure that the individual is not anyone in authority, certainly not among the general authorities. It could be a stake authority or a ward authority, but the opinion that the individual or individuals has expressed to you is absolutely erroneous. So here is the assistant manager of the Deseret Book Company, owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, in 1963 telling this person that if anyone comes up and tells you that those sermons are not to be believed, they don't know what they're talking about. Now he goes on in this letter. He says, if you will kindly turn to the title page of any one of them, that's any one of the volumes, you will observe that they were published by F.D. and F.S.W. Richards, 15 Wilton Street, London, England, and distributed by the Latter-day Saints Book Depot, 35 Jewin Street. This was the printing office where all of the church publications were printed in England in the early days of the opening of the British mission. They were printed at the Book Depot, in the printing office, on church-owned printing presses. But yet, how many times have I had Latter-day Saints make it sound like this was some private venture of George Watt, that he was in charge of the whole thing? No, that's not really the truth of the matter. He also says, may we also assure you that the Deseret Book Company, being the only church-owned bookstore, would not distribute literature on the church, particularly anything as important as the discourses of the presidents and apostles of the church, without the approval of the church. And that's a very good point. It doesn't seem likely that the church would allow its machines, its printing presses, to be printing things that they don't give the authority to be printed. Of course they were behind it. He says, in closing, if you desire, you may write to President Joseph Fielding Smith of the Council of the 12 Apostles for the verification of this fact. Now, of course, we can't do that because Joseph Fielding Smith has been dead for a number of years now.
But he was willing to throw his name in, which showed that there was some kind of authority, and he was willing to back it up with somebody who was a general authority.
And I think he makes some good points. In fact, folks, if you email me at contact@mrm.org and you would like a PDF of this letter, I will send it to you. Just write contact@mrm.org and ask for the PDF of the Deseret Book Company statement regarding the Journal of Discourses, and I will send it to you. The church gives the impression that this was done and there were a lot of mistakes that were made. But yet, we know that there were a lot of very high-powered people that were actually overseeing the publications. And when he mentions in the letter, if you will kindly turn to the title page of any one of them, you will find that there are publishers' names mentioned. These were the men that were overseeing the publication of that particular volume. Very quickly, we're going to go through the list of these publishers, and you're going to see that these were just not people they picked up off the streets. These were people in the Mormon church who we have to assume knew what correct Mormon doctrine really entailed, and then allowed those doctrines to be included in the journal.
And I think we ought to add that I doubt they would have put their names on this had they not considered this worthy of being published.
We have to assume they read these sermons and had to approve of them, at least on a personal level, to stick them into that particular volume very quickly. We have Franklin D. Richards, an apostle in the Mormon Church.
We have Samuel W. Richards. He's a mission president.
Now, a mission president, we would admit, is not as high a position as a Mormon apostle, but certainly we would have to assume that as a mission president, he has to know what Mormon doctrine is really all about.
I'm sure.
We have Orson Pratt, who was a Mormon apostle. He was in charge of putting together the seer under the auspices or authority of Brigham Young.
And we have George Q. Cannon, a first presidency member.
Amasa Lyman, who was an apostle in the Mormon Church.
Another first presidency member is Daniel H. Wells.
Brigham Young Jr., the son of Brigham Young, a member of the first presidency. He was also a publisher.
We have a prophet, President Joseph F. Smith.
Now, he wasn't a prophet at the time. We know that. He didn't become prophet till later on, but you would think that even when he's going up the ranks to become a prophet later on, that he would at least know what Mormon doctrine is all about. We have Albert Carrington, who was a member of the first presidency.
And Horace S. Eldridge, 70.
We have John Henry Smith, who was a member of the first presidency, as well as Asa Calkin, who was the European mission president. And then we also have William Budge, who was a stake president.
That's a wide variety of people who have contributed to this very large set, published over a series of years, was never discontinued because of inaccuracy that I know about.
So if you're a Latter-day Saint and you are telling your Christian inquirers that they can't trust the Journal of Discourses, you have to ask yourself, would men of this caliber who were meant to oversee the publication of this massive amount of sermons, would they be so inept to allow false doctrine to creep into it?
I think in future shows, we're going to have to show why are so many Latter-day Saint apologists not wanting to have this Journal of Discourses considered authoritative. There's some interesting teachings that do come out of it, there's no doubt.
There certainly are. And though we would readily admit that some of the things taught in the journal are not taught today, you have to ask yourself, why were they taught at all? Why are they even in the Journal of Discourses to begin with? Why did these leaders teach these things if, in fact, they were teaching error?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic in the state where we live. Oftentimes, we may feel frustrated in understanding what is perceived to be the state religion. If you are a Latter-day Saint who needs some honest answers to your questions, or perhaps you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the predominant religion in this culture, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be your resource on truth. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry founder Bill McKeever has worked hard to equip people to understand the differences between Mormonism and the historic Christian faith. At www.mrm.org, we have an active blog site, dozens of articles and video tools that will educate you in a variety of ways. Or perhaps your church needs to schedule Mormonism Research Ministry to come for a live presentation to equip your church body to be ambassadors for Christ. Let us know what we can do for you. Contact us through our website. Again, mrm.org. We're here for you.